Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Have you ever met someone who just seems, well, way younger or maybe older than they actually are? Like maybe they're 60 on paper, but they've got the energy of someone, I don't know, 45. The opposite, right? Someone seems older, maybe tired, dealing with health stuff, and really makes you wonder, is the number of candles on the cake the full picture? What we're actually touching on here is this idea of biological age. It's meant to be a much better measure of your actual health, how your body's really aging, separate from just the calendar years.
That's exactly right. And this concept, biological age, is becoming incredibly important, not just, academically interesting, but as a really powerful tool. It can help us predict risk for diseases, shape health plans that are truly personalized to you, and even speed up finding new ways to treat age-related issues. If we can accurately measure how, let's say, old your body is at that molecular level, it just opens up so many possibilities for being proactive about health.
And that's precisely what we're diving into today. There's this groundbreaking new development called EpiClock. It's a new test based on something called DNA methylation. And well, you'll want to hear what makes this one stand out. It's designed to be much simpler, more cost-effective too. Basically tackling some of the big roadblocks we've seen with older biological age tests.
Yeah, and to really get EpiClock, it helps to understand sort of the background. For a while now, scientists have used these things called DNA methylation-based epigenetic clocks. That's a mouthful, I know. But think of DNA methylation, like tiny chemical tags, maybe like little dimmer switches, that get attached to your DNA at specific spots. They don't change your actual genes, your code, but they do influence how those genes get used, turned up, turned down, switched off. And the really cool part, these tags change in predictable patterns as we get older.
Ah, okay. So these subtle changes in the tags, the methylation, that's the engine behind these epigenetic clocks, these like complex computer models that read those patterns to estimate your biological age. So it's like your body's internal clock, but it's not just ticking away time, it's actually recording the biological effects of, stress, inflammation, maybe disease right down at the molecular level. And we've seen some really important ones already, right? Like Steve Horvath's clock that looked across many tissues, used hundreds of these markers, and was pretty accurate. And others too, like Vinozage, Grimage, they've all been pushing this field forward.
Exactly. And when you put these DNA methylation biomarkers up against some of the older ways of thinking about aging markers, like, say, telomere length, well, the advantages are pretty clear. Telomere length, while interesting, often has issues like low resolution, lots of variation between people. Sometimes the link to health outcomes isn't totally consistent. DNA methylation, though, it gives us these really quantitative, consistent, and highly reproducible results. That's why it's really become the go-to standard for biological age. It just gives a much clearer, more stable picture of what's happening in your cells.
Okay, so if those existing clocks are already so good, scientifically speaking, what was the issue? What problem did EpiClock need to fix? Why bother with the new clock?
That's the key question, really. While those earlier clocks are scientifically sound, their big limitation has often been complexity and cost. They usually need these expensive, large-scale platforms, microarrays or sequencing, that look at hundreds, maybe thousands of these methylation sites across your whole genome. That makes them technically demanding, takes time, and crucially, it's not easy to scale up. Think about trying to run thousands of those tests routinely. It's just not practical for, say, screening large populations or using it regularly in a clinic.
Right, so it's powerful science, but maybe stuck in the lab, not quite ready for everyday use because of those hurdles.
Pretty much, it's a barrier to widespread adoption.
And this is where EpiClock comes in, offering what sounds like a really smart, streamlined solution.
Precisely. EpiClock is built to be streamlined, cost-effective, and importantly, scalable. The core innovation, the really clever bit, is that it gets great accuracy using only eight. Just eight specific age-linked methylation markers. Now, these eight weren't just picked randomly. They came out of a huge review of the existing science, plus a lot of data analysis, looking for the most predictive sites. Then they were tested and confirmed in blood samples from over 100 people, age 19 right up to 92. And they consistently showed really strong links to chronological age. It's about finding maximum information from minimal markers.
So it's kind of like instead of needing to read an entire massive encyclopedia to understand a story, they found a way to get the same essential plot points just by reading eight very specific, really crucial sentences. That's pretty neat. And the technology making this happen, you mentioned, is the Agena Mass Array system using something called MALDI-TOF.
That's the one. Yeah, MALDI-TOF mass spectrometry. Think of it as a very sensitive scale for molecules. It allows for this high-resolution measurement of the methylation status, without needing fluorescent labels or tags, just based on mass. It's incredibly precise at telling those tag sites apart from the untagged ones.
Okay, can you walk us through, maybe just briefly, how that works in the lab? What happens to the sample?
Sure, high level. First, you isolate the DNA, typically from blood. Then a key step is called bisulfite conversion. It's a chemical treatment that changes unmethylated cytosines, one of the DNA letters, into something else, while leaving methylated cytosines as they are. This change is crucial because after you amplify specific DNA regions using PCR, the original methylated sites will read differently from the unmethylated ones. Then the mass array system does its thing. It uses a technique called IPLX, single base extension, where a primer extends by just one nucleotide. The mass of that added nucleotide tells you if the original cytosine was methylated or not. The MALDI-TOF measures these tiny mass differences very accurately, so you get a direct quantitative readout of methylation at each specific site, and you can do it for many samples quite quickly.
Right, so it's a very precise way to count those tags at those AKI locations. And yeah. You mentioned this mass array system has other advantages.
It does. Compared to maybe older or different platforms, it's known for excellent precision and reproducibility. It also doesn't need huge amounts of starting DNA, which is good.
Yeah.
And importantly, it's built for high throughput work. You can run a lot of samples efficiently, put that all together, and it makes it really well suited for potential clinical use or large research studies. It's designed with practicality in mind.
Okay. Practical, scalable, uses fewer markers. But the big question is always, how accurate and reliable is it really? Let's get into the validation.
Absolutely critical. And the validation data for EpiClock looks very strong. Overall, the model hit an R-squared value of 0.9392.
Okay, R-squared. Remind us what that means again.
All right, so R-squared tells you how much of the variation in the thing you're trying to predict, in this case, biological age, is explained by your model. A perfect score is 1.0. So 0.9392 means that almost 94% of the differences in people's biological age in the study group could be accounted for by the EpiClock measurements. That's considered really high for this kind of biological measure. And maybe even more practical is the mean absolute deviation, or MAD, that was just 3.78 years.
So on average, the test's age prediction was off by less than 4 years.
Exactly. That's the average error. So its predictions are consistently pretty close to the person's actual chronological age, which is what you want to see. Low average error.
That is impressive. So it's accurate. But what about consistency? If two different lab techs run the same sample, do they get the same result? Or if you run the same sample multiple times, that seems crucial for a test people might rely on.
Totally crucial. And they tested exactly that. For what's called interoperator consistency, different people running the tests, they had two techs process the same 24 samples independently. The results, the methylation scores they got, matched up extremely well. And the biological age estimates had a coefficient of variation, or CV, consistently below 6%. Lower CV means less variation, so excellent agreement between operators, high repeatability. Then they looked at intra-assay consistency running the same sample multiple times within the same batch. They took six samples, ran each one three times. Again, the results were very tight. Really low standard deviations for all the markers, meaning very little technical noise or variation within the test run itself. Superb precision.
Okay, so accurate and consistent under controlled conditions. That's reassuring.
Yeah.
But what about real-world factors? Like, does it matter exactly how much DNA you start with? Or maybe what kind of blood sample you use?
Great questions. And yes, they investigated those too. First, the limited detection, or LOD. Basically, how little DNA can you use and still get good results? They found you really need at least 500 nanograms of DNA input. If you go lower, say down to 200 or 100 nanograms, the accuracy starts to drop off and the results get more variable. So 500 ang seems to be the minimum for reliability.
Good to know. So there's a clear minimum sample requirement. What about the sample type? You mentioned blood, but are there different ways to process blood?
Yes, and this is a really important point, a key nuance from the study regarding sample type robustness. They compared results from two types of samples from the same 23 people, buffy coat DNA and whole blood DNA. Now, for context, buffy coat is that layer you get when you spin down blood. It's rich in white blood cells and platelets, a concentrated source of the cells containing DNA. Whole blood is, well, just the whole sample. While the raw methylation scores themselves were still highly correlated between the two sample types, which is good, an R squared over 0.95, the actual biological age predictions showed some differences.
Oh, interesting. So the basic measurement was similar, but the final age calculation differed. How so?
The model performed better, meaning it was more accurate when using the buffy coat samples. The average error, the MAE, was about 3.3 years for buffy coat. But For whole blood samples from the same people, the average error was higher, around 4.6 years, and maybe more striking. In the whole blood group, nearly 22%, that's 5 out of 23 samples, had an age prediction error greater than 6 years. But in the Buffy Coat group, none of the samples had an error that large.
Wow. Okay, so that's a significant difference in performance based on the sample prep. What's the take-home message there?
The key takeaway is that this EpiClock model, as it stands based on this validation, is really optimized and calibrated for Buffy Coat DNA. While you can get measurements from whole blood, if you want to maintain that top-level accuracy and low error rate, you likely need to independently calibrate and validate the model specifically for whole blood or other sample types. It's not quite plug-and-play across different sample preps if you want the best precision. It's a really important consideration for how this test might be used.
That makes sense. You need to use the right input for the specific calibration. Okay, so bringing all this technical stuff together, why should you, listening right now, really care about this level of precision and these details? What does EpiClock actually mean for health, maybe for the future?
Well, the implications are pretty broad, I think. First off, the cost effectiveness and scalability we talked about. That's a potential game changer. Because it uses so few markers and a high throughput platform, it dramatically cuts down the time, the cost, and the amount of sample you need compared to those older, more complex clocks. This is what could make biological age testing practical for large numbers of people.
Right, moving it out of the specialized research lab and potentially into more routine settings.
Exactly, which leads to clinical implementation. Imagine having this as part of a regular checkup. It's not just about your cholesterol anymore, but maybe getting a read on your biological age. If you're, say, 40 chronologically, but your EpiClock comes back at 55, that's powerful information. It's not just a number. It's potentially an early warning. It could prompt you and your doctor to look closer, maybe make specific lifestyle changes, or screen for certain conditions earlier, years before something might otherwise show up. It supports earlier detection, better risk assessment, and even tracking if treatments are working at a cellular level. It's a big step towards truly personalized, proactive medicine.
That really reframes preventative health, doesn't it? Giving you a biomarker for your overall aging trajectory. Does it have uses beyond individual patient care?
Oh, absolutely. Think about drug development and aging research. Having a cost-effective, scalable, and reliable biomarker like EpiClock is huge for that field. Companies looking for anti-aging interventions or drugs targeting age-related diseases could use this in high-throughput screening. They could test lots of compounds quickly to see if they have a positive impact on biological age at the epigenetic level. It can serve as a key endpoint in clinical trials for rejuvenation therapies or lifestyle interventions. Can we actually turn back the clock? This test could help provide an objective answer much faster and cheaper than waiting decades to see mortality outcomes.
So it speeds up the whole discovery and testing process for things aimed at healthier aging. It's not just diagnostic, it's a research tool too.
Precisely. It facilitates research and development in a big way.
Okay, so this deep dive into EpiClock reveals it's not just another number. It's about a more accessible, practical tool that could genuinely become part of routine health monitoring, driving more precise diagnostics around aging. It feels like it empowers us to maybe shift from just watching aging happen to actively managing it.
I think that sums it up well. EpiClock really represents a significant step forward. It's accurate, it's reproducible, it's designed to be cost-efficient, all by using this minimal set of just 8 highly informative DNA methylation markers. It shows that strong correlation with chronological age, a low error rate, and we know it's optimized for Buffy Coat DNA, needing that 500 minimum input. The validation shows it's reliable in the lab environment.
So EpiClock isn't just an incremental update. It feels like a potentially transformative tool, really shaping how we might approach personalized aging assessment and maybe even intervention strategies down the line, making advanced science more reachable.
And maybe the final thought to leave everyone with is this. As we get better and better at precisely measuring biological age with tools like EpiClock, how might that knowledge really change things? How could it transform our own personal approach to health, maybe our societal focus on longevity, or even just the small daily choices we make about how we live? It's certainly something to think about.